Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
What the hell?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I think I got it.
Can we get a boob level check?
Right here.
One, two.
Could you raise those a point or two? Could you, like...
I could, but it would require a different bra. Actually, I'm not wearing one, so it would require a bra at the very least.
That's right. You don't wear underwear.
Well, I typically wear a bra because otherwise they start to hurt by the end of the day. They're kind of sad. They you know, they need a hammock. So, you know...
Everybody needs a hammock, and this is episode 106 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We're broadcasting live, like usual, on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at webcomicbeacon.com/live. You can check us out on either TalkShoe or Ustream presently. We're simulcasting in both for user preference. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting site and community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of PSIwebcomic.com. With me, back after a long eyeball hiatus, it's Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com.
Hello.
And, of course, Mark Savory, who sells himself too short all the time at autumnlake.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello, but I don't sell myself down by the docks.
Right. You don't sell yourself at all.
Just saying.
All right. Today is episode 106. I kind of had a couple of things kind of planned, or kind of hoping things were planned, but I didn't get any emails back from certain people that I emailed to, so they're probably busy. So this is going to be a current events and webcomics episode, and with us we have Zoe Robinson of is it All Around the House?
All Over the House.
AllOverTheHouse.com?
.net.
I can't get anything right. She is also of the new comic webcomic help building site, etc. of webcomicbuilder.com.
It is, yeah.
And that is, well, let's see. First, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
How's it going?
Hello. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm peachy. Anyway, I wanted to mention, last night, Mark, you were on Twitter pretty late last night or early.
Well, yeah, it's probably like 1 or 2 in the morning.
And we were talking about podcasting. We'll get to the main topic in a little bit. Well, this is part of the main topic too, I suppose. We're talking about podcasting, and basically we're kind of looking at the Webcomic Beacon's role in everything. And
we have a role.
Yeah.
All right. Digital strips. What did you come up with?
It appears that we are the last standing general webcomics podcast.
Really?
As far as I can tell. I mean, if you go to Google and you type in webcomic podcast, we are the third one. Fourth. Sorry. There's Gutter Talk and Hijinks. And I'm not entirely sure what those two are. They're relatively new. Digital Strips is top, but they're mostly reviews. Actually, I think they're all reviews. Webcomics Not So Weekly doesn't really update anymore. And when they did, it was really just about them. And nothing really new information. It was just kind of story time. It's still good. It's still fun to listen to. But I don't know.
What happened to Night Gig?
Gigcast is, they updated once in the past year, I think. JT's just too busy with school.
Aww.
And, so with our 100 and, six episodes now over 2 years. We're the last one standing of the longest running ones. That doesn't mean that there aren't other ones. There's TGT Webcomics Podcast, which is over at Webcomics Planet, or at least it's part of the Webcomic Planet community, which is done by Vertigo X, I believe. And I honestly haven't listened to their show because the last time I tried listening to an in general webcomics podcast, our topics seemed to cross over too frequently. So I figure keep my mind away from similar shows, and there'll be less, you know, copying if that was going on or if it was just coincidence. So I'm not entirely sure what they do, but I believe that TGT Webcomics is more for a podcast for readers, whereas the Webcomic Beacon is actually technically more for amateur and hobbyist webcomickers. I mean, I think that's its primary audience, I think. Though I'm sure we have some readers that listen. I kind of doubt that any big names listen to us, not regularly anyway. let's see, what else was there? Digital Strips, Daily Gigcast, TGT.
Webcomic Hell.
Oh, no, Webcomic Hell just has one episode. We were talking to him last night. He has some ideas. Maybe we should have him. He says he's going to update once a month. So probably get him on the show. let's steal his podcast and integrate it into ours.
We'll
become bigger and stronger. No.
Like the Borg. Webcomic Borg. Whiteout is futile.
Oh, no, you're telling me about Telltale Radio, which is kind of a webcomics. Tall Tale, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to relaunch their site pretty soon. I mean, it's been around for a while. I know I've heard about it. They're relaunching their webcomic side, but it's not a webcomic, but it's sort of a collective-y thing, if I remember right. But they do have a podcast on there that's pretty good.
Well, let's see. It looks like they started about last year in October. No, 2008 in October. Never heard of them. But apparently they're kind of like up there, close to the same level as the Webcomics Weekly guys, as far as the people they get on the show and the people that do it. Pinkerton, Super Fogies, Imagine This, Xylia Tales, yeah. Legend of Bill.
They tend to get a pretty big crowd over there.
Yeah.
Big name guys, you know, they get big name guys over there. Well, we've had a few.
Yeah, we've had a few. Still, my my proverbial penis is pretty small, it seems. And looking at all these
TMI, man. TMI.
All these other podcasts pop, and I was like, what's the future of the Webcomic Beacon? Let's do better. As part of the I'm trying to make the show better. We're trying to get some big names coming up in the next couple of months. We have Jenny Breeden, Gina Biggs, Megan Rose Gedris, all slated to be on the show in the next couple of months. So we get some really cool people that are going to be coming on the show, and we're just going to do our best and see how things work out.
are you only like putting on chicks now?
Well, see, I was originally no.
It increases our chances of getting a date.
No, Megan, I know for sure is a lesbian.
That's kind of straight out.
Yeah, and I think she's already seen somebody anyway. Too so.
Jenny's either involved or married,
right?
I think involved. Either way, not necessarily going to happen,
right? But still, I was actually trying to get all three of them for a romance webcomics podcast, and that kind of fell through as far as availability. So they're all stretched out; they get their own show, basically. I still have to work out a couple of final details in scheduling. But so that's really cool. I'm trying to get more like shows where we have a guest and talking with that guest with no particular topic to be forced upon them like in the past. And I think that helps loosen up, you know, the structure of the show and to be a little bit more informal and casual and a little bit more fun without having to try and get that topic in, which we usually derail and tangent from anyway. Let's see here. Okay, it looks like everything is recording. Hold on, I gotta check. That's right, today we're... somebody's asking me something in Skype.
Today we're suffering from severe inattentive ADD.
You don't have Ustream running.
I don't have Ustream running? It should be.
It says it's off air.
It says it's... refresh this page.
Let me see.
It says I'm broadcasting. Oh. Apparently, it looks like Ustream's not working, so let me stop that, close that, and then restart it. Okay, don't freeze on me, you motherfucker.
Remember when Fess used to get so mad at me because I'd go off on the little cussing stints and he'd have to edit it all out?
Yeah, that yeah, how about funny. That?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
You just said, well, screw it, it ain't worth it.
Well, I don't do it anymore unless it's like a lot. So,
I mean, it looks like in YouTube we're like the first one that shows up there.
Are we on YouTube?
Or, iTunes.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute, what the hell?
iTunes?
Yeah, we're on iTunes.
Yeah, but what about iTunes?
We're number one.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're...
the one listed.
The one that shows up first, whatever that means.
Shows up first for what? I don't use iTunes, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
When you type in, like, webcomic podcast, we're the one that shows up.
Cool. That's awesome. We're number one somewhere.
Oy vey.
In any case, the webcomic beacon... should be the podcast should be working right now. The Ustream should be working right now. It's showing up on
there
mine.
It goes. Okay.
So good. I apologize to everyone who's been listening on the Ustream and it wasn't working. I ended up restarting it. You didn't miss too much except me talking about other podcasts, which you shouldn't be listening to anyway. In any case, All right, so basically what I was trying to say is that this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, we're talking about current events in the webcomics world. If you have a question, type to me in Skype, look for Fessworks, just send a message, and if type what the question basically is and so I can prepare it and get it lined up, and then we'll add you to the conversation like a call in, and there you go. We're going to start off, however, with some other current events before we get into where we want people to call in, because there needs to be substance before we have somebody talk about it. So one of the big things that has happened recently is that webcomics.com, a website owned by the Half Pixel crew that does webcomics weekly and has the book How to Make a Webcomic, or How to Make Webcomics, actually. And actually, I'm kind of curious about that book. I should probably look into it.
I have it. I bought a copy not too long ago.
Yeah, I've got one on order.
Well, I have a copy here. It's
fine. perhaps that's something that we could look into in a future podcast. But
there's a lot of good stuff in it.
But for
a lot of good stuff in it.
But artists are very infrequently also marketers, so I think that that's where the book really shines is giving artists who are rather inept at marketing themselves.
That's me.
Is it more focused for artists
to do that?
Is it more focused for artists than writers?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So that's good information for any writers out there that might be thinking about getting a book, possibly.
Unless you're in a team.
Unless you're in a team, of course. But webcomics.com used to be a free information sharing website about different things about. How to improve your webcomic, how to improve your site, et cetera, et cetera. It is now a $30 a year pay site, which it looks to be more or less the same information that's already been going. They have promised more than that is when they first posted about it. I first heard about this on Twitter when I was at work, so I couldn't check any links. I held my judgment and say, obviously, they have the right to do that. Is it a faux pas? Possibly. But if I saw what they were promising and some ideas, and actually, if what they're promising comes out and it's really good stuff, $30 a year might be pretty good. I mean, it's kind of like an online book in that aspect. But if it's pretty much going to be the exact same thing as it was for the previous year, $30 probably isn't worth it, because information is going to be shared. Talking about this and that, website design, web banner design, or ad design, things like that. Those are things that are easily shared by other people, by, you know, some people that already have, you know, gotten the $30 a year. They're likely going to share a lot of the information that they pick off of here. Recently, Scott Kurtz had a post on here, which basically it's a post that tells you that your comic sucks and why, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a good post.
I know, but of course, with a lot of the hacks, half pixel people, and also with like the Something Awful webcomics forum people, you know, it's all about having a professional comic, putting something out there that's professional. A very, very anti-hobby webcomic. And in fact, it says here, people that are focusing too much on the web part of webcomics. I say, fuck you.
No. Okay. Hold it right there.
No.
Make something very clear to anyone out there who's being logical. This site is for people who intend to make money off their comics. It's not for fucking hobbyists.
True.
It's not.
I understand.
His whole post is geared. It says right there, is not ready to be monetized yet. He's gearing it toward people who are trying to be professionals.
Still. I'm still going to say that, because I am a full-hearted supporter of the hobbyist webcomic. And sometimes people don't take enough advantage of being a webcomic. Of course, if you are one of those that do want to improve yourself, improve your comic, and hopefully go towards a professional aspect in webcomics, go for it. But still, there's not enough love for the hobbyists out there. Webcomics, oh, for the love of the hobby.
I think you're implying insult towards hobbyists where there was none intended.
Nah, I just like drama, you know. Actually, drama. I hate drama, but it's something that I had to bring up. You know, good. I mean, obviously,
I think there was some hate for the hobbyists.
Yeah. Well, it's Scott Kurtz. You know, I mean,
I need a nap already. I've been on like 20 minutes.
Hi, Tanya. Welcome back. See, no, we
I
missed
think,
you.
I
See,
think,
you're
I
the
think
voice
the whole...
of reason that's usually not here.
That's what I'm here for. To temper the crap. What the hell? Sorry.
I think, I don't know, hate's a strong word, but I think, first they have a pretty good site. I've visited a couple times. To be honest, I've never really used webcomics.com. So, you know, it doesn't affect me anyway.
Right.
But I recognize there's some good stuff over there and everything else. And that Brad works awful damn hard and deserves to make money off this stuff.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody has a problem with that. And that's totally cool. But I think the way that they just sort of slam down the Iron Curtain is kind of a dick move. And I've posted about that before. I think, I mean, would it kill you? Would it kill you to say, hey, okay, I've got to make some changes, man. And, you know, when we come back after the holidays, here's how it's going to roll. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. Obviously, there's enough thought ahead of time to be able to do that. And I think the idea is, because I don't know, because I wasn't there when they had these meetings and stuff and decided what they're all going to do. I don't know. Brad's supposed to be the nicest guy in webcomics. That's his moniker anyway.
He's super nice.
Scott, I could kind of picture him saying something along the lines of, hey, you know what? All these freeloaders, they're not going to pay the $30, so fuck them. Fuck them. Just cut them off. Let them bitch and cry and carry on. Have a little temper tantrum.
He would say that.
Who cares? Fuck those guys. It's the guys who sign up and pay us the $30. Them's the guys that we care about. And these other guys, you know, fuck. I don't know if he would say that.
I think he would, actually. Personally, I love Scott Kurtz. I love his bluntness and honesty, and it's just... I don't care what other people think.
Cool.
I love that about Scott. Really, I really am just giving him shit. He's not listening to this show. He doesn't care. So I can say that. I don't, whatever.
I've never actually met the guy, talked to him.
much anything.
I tried. He is very blunt. He is very honest, and I do very much admire that about Scott Kurtz. And it is quite possible that, you know, that was his opinion. I don't know. And, you know, between the two,
I could kind of picture Scott would be the guy saying that or thinking saying, that or, yeah. or take yeah. that position.
It doesn't mean I agree with a lot of the things that he's for or believes in. I still like him. I can respect him.
Yeah. I respect his desire to be forthright. But yeah, Brad is really just like candy sweet. He's so nice. He's just so nice. And, you know, I don't think they were trying to be dicks and cut anybody out. And I don't think they're, you know, their intention is to insult anyone or tell them that their stuff is crap and that, you know, only professionals matter or any of those things. But he does work his ass off. He's got his own projects. He's got this going. And he's like, they deserve to make money on this. Yeah. They're putting a lot into it.
I mean, if what they're promising comes to fruition, yeah, if it's just information sharing like it was before, as simple as it was before, it's going to get shared no matter what. But
I would think even then it would be worth the $30 a year. If you look at it for what it seems to be intended for, which is a mentoring system, the idea is we are people who are making money with our webcomics. We know what we're doing. We have a solid marketing base. We have this understanding. And we'll give you the information you need if that's what you intend for your comic to help you get there. It's a mentoring kind of system. They could have just published another How to Make Webcomics book every year with the new information. You still would have had to pay the money. So
no, I think they decided that, look, we're aiming at this group of webcomicers and these other guys, you know, right? I'm not saying there's hate there. I'm just saying, you know, these people don't matter.
There's not as much
let's
love.
Let's focus over here. But, you know, these other guys, okay, that's great. Yeah. Yeah,
I tend to think it's a little less mean-spirited. Like, maybe they realize that the skills that they really have to offer people are really for people who intend to be professionals, that they don't really have things to offer amateurs.
I don't think it's meanness. I think it's just, you know, meh, you know. Who, you know
okay.
what I mean? It's
See,
like,
that's mean.
No, it isn't. No, I think I don't think it's being mean so much as just not thinking about it.
Okay.
You know, does it kill you? Would it kill you to post, hey, you know, when we come back after the holidays, here's how it's going to work. You know, and here's why, and blah, blah, blah. No, instead, they pull the same thing like the Keen Spot dude.
Actually, Brad had a comic in his Evil Inc. comic, which basically poked fun at the subscription model they just did.
It's true.
It was like a couple strips ago.
They say it's not anything like that. Theoretically, I don't know what it would be. A paywall's a paywall, but you know, whatever. Like I say, it doesn't affect me.
It's time for a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk with our guest, who's been very patient this whole time.
Poor thing.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more on information sharing.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
So, we have Zoe Robinson of webcomicbuilder.com.
Hi.
Hello.
Still here. Good. Okay.
Still here, definitely.
And this is one of the couple of sites that have popped up in response to the paywall model. To be fair, like as was saying before the break, they're looking – it's obviously webcomics.com is a site that's specifically for people who are interested in more of the profession, more of the – so it's kind of – it's the $30 paywall is – kind of like a weeding out system to kind of quiet the random voices that are constantly asking the same thing and not actually paying attention. There are people like that where they'll ask a question, how do you do this? They want the simple answer, the quick answer, da 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 da. And I know that they've talked about that sort of person before, and it is a person that exists. And possibly some of us were that person at one point or not. But of course, there are people that will go ahead and try to make a different site of sharing information for free. So Zoe, tell us about Webcomic Builder.
It's basically, as you described, it's a response to webcomics.com going pay site. But at the same time, it was something that I was interested in doing before this happened, and that was just the catalyst for it. Because there's always more than one way of explaining something or of doing something. So I decided, let's have a site where, just because you're a hobbyist or whatever, doesn't really matter. You can go along and get the information if you want to make your comic better. And you shouldn't have to pay for it, because, as I think we've already mentioned, a lot of this information's out there anyway if you just go and hunt for it. Or if you just want to come to one place that has it all, then there you are. So start putting this together. I've had a few people who've submitted guest articles so far. It's coming along quite nicely.
Well, awesome. Is there anybody that has submitted articles that are more of a, like, an upper level, so to speak, webcomicer? You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. My biggest problem is I don't actually know who the upper level or high tier of webcomic people are, because I am terrible with names. But the people who have submitted articles so far is Ben Chamberlain of Supermassive Black Hole A-Star. And I think also The Princess and the Giant, which is fantastic. And he's been talking about how he makes his art using the lasso tool rather than a pen. That was amazing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we've also had Kathy Caitlin from Alien Shores on how to make a decent site design. Because even if your comic is a hobby thing that you do in your spare time, there's no reason why it should look bad.
We had somebody on... I think one of our first episodes, we had somebody on who has a whole website about how to make a better looking webcomic site. And that's also one of the things I saw on webcomics.com before they went up to the pay site, about how to maximize your real estate, basically, of your website, which I ended up doing for the Webcomic Beacon, PSI, Ardra, and I helped a friend out with her comic site. And I mean, the information is good, and I did make a lot of improvements. I don't know if that'd be kind of a faux pas to kind of make an article on your site with that similar information. Like, I can't recall the exact information because it's behind a paywall, but I can remember a lot of it. I don't know if that's a faux pas or not, if I would do that.
It's kind of secondhand plagiarizing.
Well, true, but it doesn't make it any less accurate. I mean, it's general information still that's going to get out there.
That is true.
And it's not like I really don't remember everything either, but I could credit.
That would be plagiarism.
Yeah, I think you should just stop it.
From a legal technical point of view, if you're just taking the idea that someone else has already put out there and not really putting your own spin on it, but basically copying what they said, that does kind of constitute plagiarism.
Yes.
Yes.
It's more or less paraphrasing and making up stuff I don't remember.
Yeah, stop it. No, it's plagiarism, okay?
All right.
Someone else's thesis is still plagiarism. You can't.
All right. How about this? Anybody who's interested in knowing, just send me an email. And I'll try to tell you as much as I remember.
You stopped using the trowel. You've moved to a backhoe to dig yourself in now.
Oh, looking over the site, I really like the way this is set up. I love the tweet this feature on the individual articles. That's just brilliant. Just giving somebody a one-click way to just instantly, you know, get the word out about individual articles.
Yeah, I actually got that idea from a site called Mashable. It has it on there, so I thought, how are they doing that? Turns out it's just a WordPress plugin, so I stuck it on our site as well.
Yeah.
It is quite nice.
It's a smart one. Yeah, that's really smart. And so far, I'm really liking the range of the articles. It is really nice. Everything from stats and why you should or shouldn't care to, you know, effective lettering, things that a lot of webcomic artists kind of overlook. They tend to think that the comic's all about pretty pictures and, you know, funny story. And they forget things like, you know, where things fit in each frame and how the lettering looks and
how to make it legible so people can actually read it.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is things I've tripped over while I've been making my own comics. So I thought, if I'm doing this, there must be someone else that's this bad, and let's stop them from having to make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
We have a call in from one of our listeners. As soon as he picks up. Hello, Dromos. Eric, you're on the air.
Hello.
You have a question?
Okay, I got to hold. I got to shut down the talk show window. Okay. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was getting a weird echo. yeah, I just wanted to ask how one goes about submitting to the site. That was my question.
So to which site?
Your site.
Your
site.
Oh. Like submitting an article.
The thing we're talking about right now.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, I was getting confused. it's very easy to confuse me today. Just send an email to me. I think I've got, oh, at least I'd hope I'd have a contact. I don't have a contact thing on the website. I will do. But if you email an idea to zoe@zoerobinson.com, I'll talk about it with you. And if you send an article idea as a HTML file, rich text format, document, whatever, then I'll go through it with you and we'll put it up on the site.
Are you looking for a whole article or are you looking for just the ideas?
Ideas, whole articles, either's fine. Whole articles are brilliant because it means I can just bird straight up there with a link to your website or whatever. But article ideas is fine as well.
Okay, so you would like something written out at the very least. That would be the best situation.
Yeah, in most cases that's brilliant because it means I can save time because I've got a lot of other things I do as well. But if you want to just talk it with us and we can co-write something, that's fine as well.
Okay. Oh, thanks. That was my main question.
And an all excellent right. question it was. I was wondering the same thing.
this has been Eric of xcern.com. Look for the show notes because I don't remember how to spell it.
Yeah. EXIERN.com.
Oh, there we go. Well, thanks for calling in.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye. That's right. If you are listening live right now and you have a question for anyone on the show right now, you send a text message to Fessworks on Skype with your question, and I might just add you to the conversation so you can ask your question live. And I would give out the phone number, but I think the phone number might be a little I like the wait in Skype. But of course, if you do not have access to Skype and just a phone number, you can try to send a text message to me and somehow, and then we can do it that way. So, let's see here. So we have the Webcomic Builder, which is one site that has popped up. Apparently a couple of other sites have popped up. There's Webcomics Community. Somebody mentioned.
I think I mentioned that one. I'm not entirely sure about it, what they're actually doing there yet, because last time I looked in, there was half a forum and nothing else. But it looks like if they get going, that's going to be a really nice one.
Well, I don't really – well, right now there's really nothing there. I mean, there's like a comic and there's like no navigation for anything except forum. So
yeah. That was pretty much it when I was looking last time, too.
All right. And I guess Webcomic Planet has started using their main blog for information sharing for the most part. I never really paid attention to the blog before. I think it was just random webcomic news or at least news related to the Webcomic Planet Collective. Again, I don't really know. As I wasn't reading before, but it looks like now is they're starting to do a free information sharing model as well. Aside from that, does anybody have any comments on information sharing? As far as okay, wait.
Wait, what?
Well, you have, of course, you have the people that are looking to better themselves, of course. And I'm all for that, too. And of course, and then there's also the hobbyists. The people that just want to make a comic, just to make a comic and have some fun. If you're doing that, good on you. do you understand your comic could absolutely suck, of course. And that's just, you know, one of the things. Art is subjective. I will submit it, of course. But art can also be critically good or critically bad. That's the subjective angle. But of course, there are proper, correct ways to do things, such as, you know, proportions, anatomy, and various things. If that's
yes and no.
If your style is kind of fucked up and on purpose, that's different.
I was going to mention that because one of my comics doesn't have perspective, proportion, size, or anything, because it's designed to look like a child drew it. So yeah, it's not necessarily that you have to have all that.
I think when it comes down to it, what you really need to have above all else is a clear vision of what you're trying to put across. Yeah. As long as you have that clear vision, your proportions can be way off. There are plenty of comics where the arms are sort of like curvy noodles, but that one feature, that curvy noodle arm thing, is carried over in the rest of the art. You notice other sort of elongated features or rounded, you know, edges, and you know that that was intentional. As long as your art looks intentional, you're not going to be criticized by anyone who knows what they're talking about. I mean, you're always going to be criticized by some numbnut somewhere.
Right.
There's always a critic.
There's the realistic art, and then there's cartoony art. And one thing that I refuse to believe and later discovered is true is that if you really want to do comic-y art, you really got to know realistic art, because comic art is an exaggeration of realistic art. And if you go right to cartoon art, you're going to get fucked up. Otherwise, you're going to fall into mimicking other people's existing styles and arts versus developing your own. I learned this the hard way. And you can't really jump right to cartoony art unless you're imitating an existing style.
That very much depends on your mindset. When I first started and I was trying to learn, I did just that. I started with basic anatomy and, you know, skeletal structures and trying to figure that out. And I constantly ran up against a wall. I just had a real difficulty making that cartoony. I didn't want it to be realistic. More importantly, I didn't want to wait the 5 years it was going to take me to have something that looked decent realistically. You know, I just wanted to get my writing out there with pictures. That was really what I was looking at. And I actually had to then step back and say, wait a minute, trying to do this realistically and then tone it down to a cartoon form was hurting me. And so that's when I started looking. If you go to Comic Tools, there's a blog site called Comic Tools. He actually shows you a cartoon skeleton versus, you know, the realistic skeleton. You can find places that talk about cartoon hands and learning to do it that way, where they're giving you very simplified structures. And from there, it was very easy for me to develop my own style. And, you know, even when I was still beating myself up over how much my art sucked, I had people complimenting me on how quickly I'd found my style. The only reason I found it that quickly is because I ignored all those people that told me that I had to know real anatomy before I could do cartoon anatomy.
Well, maybe it's at least an understanding of it.
You have to know where things go. Yeah. If your arms are connecting to the neck, you're going to look like a moron.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, once you get past a very basic understanding of, you know, where sockets exist.
Can you find us those links?
To Comic Tools? Absolutely.
Is that just where it was, Comic Tools?
Yeah,
comictool.blogspot.com.
Exactly. Comictool.blogspot.com has been my favorite comic blog site. Again, free information. It's all right out there. There's a lot of really good tutorials. The pointy stick method, I've been so happy to discover. I'm doing all of my lettering now and all of my panel work with a pointy stick, those cheap bamboo sticks that you buy at like Asian food markets for skewering food. I've never had an easier time. It's so much easier.
What are you talking about?
You're using a pointy stick instead of a fountain pen. Instead of inking with nibs, you're literally using a pointy stick. It's incredibly easy. It comes out incredibly professional. And if it hadn't been for the free information at Comic Tools, I never would have gone that direction. There's really good information here.
Well, awesome. Well, so I guess everyone can go ahead and check that out. What was the website again?
It's comictool.blogspot.com. Thank you very much, Zoe.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
So there's that, I guess. Otherwise, the other basic rule to improving your art, practice.
It is true. It's true.
It is. I mean, look at my fucking terrible comic. I mean, look at the beginning versus look at it now. I mean, holy shit.
One of the favorite things I ever heard said at a panel is someone stood up and she said, you know, how can I get better at my artwork? And the guy on the panel, I can't remember who it was, unfortunately, said, where's your notebook? And she kind of like panicked and was like, well, I don't have it with me. And he goes, well, there's your first problem. Never leave without the notebook. You're sitting down listening to people. You could be drawing right now. And that's a good point.
Damn it, I got to get a notebook. Well, actually, I have a folder with a bunch of loose paper.
It's close enough.
It's definitely a start.
It is a start. If you're ever going to, have your work evaluated or try to get tips from a professional, they really sort of prefer something bound. If you're just practicing on your own, hey, loose paper's fine as long as you're drawing.
Just put it in a trapper keeper and away you go.
That's right. How beautifully Back to the Future is that?
Trapper keepers.
Sorry.
remember when we didn't used to have perforated notebooks?
Yeah, what a mess.
I hated that.
That microperf is an awesome invention.
It's beautiful.
remember when recycled notebook paper was complete shit? Yeah.
Remember when we had erasable ballpoint pens?
Those sucked.
Remember when we had a point to the show? Let's go back to that. Poor Zoe.
Well, come on. We're trying to stay off topic here.
Oh, wait. Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Just had a straight thought. Actually, two thoughts.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's right. If anybody has a comment, they can send a message to Festworks on Skype with your question, and hopefully we'll get you in the show if you want to call in and ask a question. Or bring something up. We did have a question, but it's kind of unrelated to what we're currently talking about.
I'll allow it.
If it's where babies come from, they should Google it.
Oh, I was a childbirth instructor. I can give a long, detailed explanation nobody wants to hear.
Anyway, there's the other thing that I wanted to talk about before derailing too much, Tanya, and that is talking about Kickstarter. Kickstarter.com, we had mentioned this website before. It is essentially, well, it goes through Amazon.com, and I'm not sure if it's still invite only or if you're supposed to apply. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but basically, if you got this idea, or if you got is particularly there's lots of things that are available through Kickstarter, and basically it's a way to kickstart funding for a project, and we're gonna talk about this from the comics angle, as in there's many other categories, such comics as Sorcery 101, and then there's Poorcraft, which is living well in a suburban budget or something like that for a cartoonist. So you don't like a starving artist. So at least, you know, you can eat. that was being done through that. Also, a Tiny Kitten Teeth type of Golden Book inspired project has been funded through it. It essentially works where you have this idea or this goal to, like, say, print a book of your comics, or to create a book or a comic. You put it up with all this information, and it's kind of like a telethon, where a lot of them will list, like, for $1 you'll get access to the blog about its creation, etc., etc. For $5, for $10, $25, $50, $100, $250, you know, etc., etc. There's, like, different incentives for people to back the project. And a lot of times once you get to like the $20 range, or $10 to $15 range, you might get a PDF of the final book, $25, $30 and on. You'll probably get a copy of the book when it's done. So it's kind of like it works like a pre-order in that aspect, but it also works as in not just pre-ordering, but sort of like a donation thing. As well, I mean, if you really feel great about the project, you know, give some more. And they sometimes have rewards for more, like you might get more than one copy of the book. Or if you spend like $250, you could get a cameo in the book or original art from the book. I think it's a very, very cool idea. But the only thing is that if it's time limited for how long it has for you to reach X amount of dollars, right. But it'd be a couple of thousand or 500 or something like that. If you don't meet or exceed your goal by the time's up, nobody's credit card is charged at all, and it becomes a failed Kickstarter project. If it succeeds, all the other credit cards are then charged once it completes and meets the goal. So it's kind of a really cool idea. What do you guys think about Kickstarter?
It's the first time we heard about it, but it sounds good.
I think it's a brilliant take on the microloan process. You know, you are kind of getting something in return with a lot of the projects. What you're really getting is, you know, the opportunity to see a film or whatever else, because, you know, they're trying to make this movie. But it's I like that it allows for kind of a pre-order model that with more flexibility, and that it also allows just for projects that just need, you know, the funding. And it does kind of weed out the wheat from the chaff. If your project idea sucks and you don't seem to have a really good plan for how you're going to go from zero to finished, you're not going to get funded. And, you know, you have to go back to the drawing board and try again. Whereas if it's an innovative idea, something that makes people excited, something that, you know, you can kind of get the internet involved in, you know, it carries its own meme, chances are good it's a project that's going to get funded. It may not have existed without this. And
right.
I think it's a really good idea.
Mark?
I think it's a great idea, yeah. It's a way that people can get products produced, graphic novels and things like that, that otherwise they would be slaving in obscurity for decades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's really a good idea. I think we probably should do a show on it.
Well, I was trying to, but I have not yet received somebody who's been through Kickstarter to email me back. There is one more person I'm going to try to see if I can get them on the show. I don't like listing names because I don't want to put an expectation on.
Right.
And also, it's kind of improper to say, "Hey, I'm going to try to get this person on the show," and if they don't come on, well, man, they suck. No, that's not fair to them, you know. So, I don't even mention who are the people that did not email me back, because that's unprofessional to say these things.
Well, yeah.
Joe didn't email me back. His comic sucks, man.
Yeah, Scott Kearns won't come on the show. I don't know why. He's a jerk.
God.
Don't.
Oh, man.
You know, the funny thing is that from now on, at least if I meet Scott Kurtz again, I won't have to wonder why he won't talk to me. At least now I'll have something to blame it on.
Oh, yeah. Like he listens to the webcomic Beacon.
Somebody else he knows might.
Oh, yeah.
They say he's
no, actually, I do know there are a few sort of higher profile webcomicers who at least knew who we were, which suggests that at least somebody said, you know, yo, so-and-so said on the Webcomic Beacon something about you. So.
Yay! Unless they're just making it up. It's like when you meet
me. It's lie to me. It's not like I'm important enough to bullshit.
All right. Well, we are, we do need to take a quick break once again. And when we come back, we'll see what we have left.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-333-3333. 1-800-273-1-0-0-9-2-2.
And advertising this week on the Webcomic Beacon website, through their Project Wonderful ads, we have Jaden and Crusader of jadenandcrusader.com with the leaderboard. On our tower, we have Yosh of yoshsaga.com. And on our bottom at the every post banner, we have Alone in the Crowd at aicrowd.com. And if you'd like to advertise on the Webcomic Beacon podcast on the website through the Project Wonderful ads or sponsor a particular episode, go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise. Are you okay,
Mark? I think we've blown it all.
Oh, and you know, I was reading through the FAQs, and it does say that right now it's by invite only.
Oh, well, that sucks, but I guess that's good.
And then I'm clicking now to learn more about invitations.
Learn more about getting an invitation.
I mean,
one, you can't suck.
Yeah, I think that's number one.
Yeah,
you have to not blow. Like, that's...
Or if you do, do it in the privacy of your own home. Don't show those people the comics, you know.
Yeah.
Got to put a paywall up. No.
It says you can find invites on Twitter. Over 1,000 existing users have invites to pass out.
Really?
So it doesn't seem like it's actually like a... It doesn't seem like it's an elitist sort of you can't suck and get an invite. It seems more like a Google Wave invite system. Like, it's, you know, when...
They're not going to just up and hand out, you know, unless they have to actually think that you'd be good, you know? I mean, that's...
Well, but if you have like 1,000 people to say, you know, hey, I think this is worth it, one of them might think you don't suck enough to give you an invite.
But they
well,
could
it's
be
not
drunk.
Like you're going to a panel of 5 people who are deciding whether or not you get this invite. There are lots of people. Existing users are the ones that have the invites.
True.
So that does take it down a notch. It's not like you have, you know, this elitist panel.
Well, it could be drunk.
Day. They could be trying to get back to watching a porn movie after.
That's right. Next thing you know, invite, baby.
That's just invite this guy. All right, I'm back it up.
Because it doesn't matter. If you suck, you're not going to get funded.
But at the same time, if the invites are linked to the person who's given the invite, then it could effectively be a wide-ranged peer review system.
See, yeah, and it doesn't seem to say that if you have an invite and you give it to somebody else that, you know, their project is going to taint your name. It doesn't ever really state that.
Right.
And it does say that you can also get an invite just by contacting them with your idea. And if you go to Kickstarter in their FAQ, it does also tell you potential project creators, here are the things that we'd like you to really think out before you give your proposal. So it's very well thought out. They make it clear. They make it easy if you can't follow the instructions.
So somebody can't just go, I got a webcomic. I'm going to get a lot of money and I'm going to make t-shirts. It's going to be awesome. You know, there's obviously quality control. So which quality control is good for such a site like that, especially when you're asking for faith from funders to put up their credit card, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
By the way, there's still, as of this podcast, there's still a week to go to get in on Sorcery 101's first book. I think it's technically sort of a reprint because the first book print run was a limited print. But there's 7 days to go to get on. I mean, it's already 105% funded. But that doesn't mean that you can't get in on, like I was saying, like the donation, you know, there's like the increasing list of things that you can get. Before you're going to have to just up and wait until it's available, you know?
Yeah, because they do allow people to fund, you know, beyond the 100% mark. You know, it's like when their end date comes, that's the end date. So they can continue accepting money until that end date.
Right.
Which I also think is nice because if you start out like, wow, I only need $500 for this project, but it's a really good idea, and you end up with, you know, $1,500 worth of donations, you can do extra with that. You know,
hey, okay.
That would be a big. Well, I guess.
To put it back to your funders would probably be a better idea. Like,
that's kind of what I was thinking. You know,
it's likely they do more books, or maybe better quality paper, or a different binding, or maybe
because now you know that your project is really worth it. It's something people really want. You can use that to do a bigger print run or better quality,
right.
Yeah, it's a big. It's a great idea.
Like I know Poorcraft, which is we've had Diana Nock on the show before for Jinxville. She's the artist, and basically she was getting at least half, I believe, or close to that, to do the art, and she her job is freelance artist. That's all she does. That's her. Right. That's her 100% source of income. And so that's really good for her, and she does really awesome stuff too. And that did get 200% funded at least, I think. So that's pretty sweet. So they're going to be making the book overall better quality is what they were saying. And of course, Diana can get more pay up front as well. So that's really cool. You know, it's not like these are, you know, jerk offs and they're going to be dicks. I mean, obviously, if they have these kind of backers, these people have faith in them. They trust them. You know, if some person you don't know somehow gets on Kickstarter, well, it's gonna show, really. You know, but let's see here. What else is in the news? Webcomic-y news.
Keenspot.
Nothing.
Oh, Keenspot.
Oh, good lord! Here we go.
Well, we did already kind of talk about that when we had R.C. Monroe on the show.
Yes.
It basically, Keenspot, the once place to be hosted by, supposedly they're severely changing their model. Of course, it's all hearsay right now and ooh, kind of stuff. It's lots of speculation, but obviously it'd be a faux pas. I'm using that word so much this episode. A faux pas to outright say that they're eliminating their non-Crosby hosted webcomics. Even though they may seem like that way. But
that's not what they're doing. They're getting rid of anything except for comics that they actually like that they think they can market.
Perhaps.
I mean, that's the idea.
And it's not necessarily comics they like. It's just comics that they see potential money-making potential.
Well,
to be honest, hasn't it been coming for a while? Every time I looked at Keenspot, they're always going on about how they're not actually making a profit.
Yeah. I wasn't shocked in the slightest. Like, it didn't blow my mind. I think you can only bleed money for so long, right, before you change models or clothes.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
right, and a lot of those people they can easily do well on their own too, and if the supposed new contract is going to be what it looks like it was going to be, it looks like complete bullshit. But of course, this is complete speculation. So, you know, we really don't know anything, and we're just gonna have to wait for people to tell their tale after it happens.
There have
in the
been
summer.
Those who've suggested that the reason the new contract reads like complete bullshit is that they are encouraging people to not sign it. That it's the extra push out the door.
It's a weeding out process. I mean,
because they did make it very clear. They made it very clear. You can do this better on your own. You know, they made it exceedingly clear that there's no need to sign the contract.
Or we don't really care if you can do better on your own or not. We just don't want you around here.
Well, I don't think it was.
Well, no, they
the
can't.
Wording, the
that'd
wording
be
was.
That'd be unprofessional to word it like that.
Well, okay. It wasn't tactful. All right.
No.
It wasn't socially acceptable.
No.
But you know what? We're artists and geeks. Not many of us are tactful or socially acceptable, so I kind of have to give them a little bit.
So in any case, if this does go through and basically becomes the Crosby Show, as somebody in the chat room suggested.
Crosby Show.
Which is basically
there's only one Crosby Show I care about, and that had Bing.
But you know, basically the three Crosbys that run the site, I believe there's just three, but you know, if they end up doing basically getting everything off of Keenspot but them, I don't think they have the right to call themselves Keenspot. Keen Spot
they
meant something. No. Keen Spot meant something years ago. Now, if it's whatever comic company Bobby or Chris Crosby have, what was the other comic company name that they actually have and use?
Yeah.
That actually was prominent at their the conventions, other than the Keen Spot logo, which basically wasn't. I really don't think they have the right to call themselves Keen Spot. I mean, if it's just
their name, they do have the right. No. I mean, they have the right.
But yes, but I don't think it's like what's a good example of a company that basically just has a name, but it basically means absolutely nothing because
MGM.
It doesn't have anything to do with what they used to do.
MGM used to make motion pictures, as we all know.
Yes. Oh, and
then they became for a while. Until somebody else bought the name, they were a property holding company, like, you know, plots of land kind of property, hotels and crap like that. Until somebody bought back the name, and now you have some MGM movies. But before then, they were like, you know, property and buildings and hotels.
Yeah,
it didn't make any sense.
Or Star Wars, you know? It's like Star Wars, where, you know, it's obviously it's not Star Wars anymore. So, you know, do you have the right to use the word Star Wars? No, maybe just name it like Super Space Adventure with Kids. I don't know.
Okay, look, they incorporated the freaking name. It's their name. They can do whatever they want. They can
out
and start selling black tar heroin under the name Keen Spot Heroin.
Yeah, but it's
their fucking name.
They can, but it's. I don't care. You know, if they eliminate what made Keen Spot Keen Spot, fuck them.
Who cares? We'll forget. We will forget. In 10 years, if they're successful and they're making money and they're doing their thing, nobody will care anymore what Keen Spot used to stand for. MGM is still making cash. Nobody cares that their name
is. No, MGM's not making cash. The company that owns MGM is making cash.
My.
And that's
okay,
Sony.
Okay, name's still making cash.
Sony owns MGM,
it's just a name fest. Just a name.
A name means something, or it used to.
Don't make me quote Shakespeare.
It hasn't meant anything for a long time, Beth. Doesn't matter.
Well,
they could come up with another car and name it the Pinto, and it'd be okay.
Only if it was a respectable nod to the original. Not where they take like an old car that they haven't made for years. I forget which car this was, but they like made a new version of the car, and it's like it looks absolutely nothing like it. It looks like another rounded out piece of shit, like all the other cars that are on the road. You know, nothing unique about it really, except maybe the little hint of the old car in the grill or some crap like that. No, you know, it's like some things are fucking sacred.
Keen Spot is not sacred.
No, but
seriously, that's where we're going. This is sacrosanct. Is that
no? It's like some things had meaning.
Oh my god!
It's the principle.
How can you have this much estrogen and still be a dude? It's just the name. Let it go.
It's the principle. I will fight
it's
the
principle. You weren't even a Keen Spot member.
No, okay. No. It's all about respect to the original, where your roots came from, and being true to that. And if you're just going to be touting a name around and it not mean what it meant anymore, this is, of course, if it goes about as in not basically just being just them, which they might as well just use. They have a different name that's not Keen Spot, which they use for their comic company. For all of their stuff, they already have a comic company and a different name for that. If they end up doing an elimination of essentially everything but them, now that's an if, because I have no idea. If they end up doing that, I don't think they should use it, because it's totally not that. It's disrespectful to the history, personally. That's my belief. It's the principle.
Perhaps what they're actually doing with this, if they've got their own name for what they're doing and they're trimming down the chaff, so to speak, perhaps all they're actually doing is just asset stripping. They're going to sell the name on.
They could
do that.
I think that right now, looking at the way their language has been structured, it looks like they're rebranding Keenspot. So they're going to continue using the name. It's going to mean something different. And while it may not be some people's personal preference, it is their right to do so.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Obviously, they're being very – I don't want to say cagey. They're being very vague about what
I don't think they know.
I don't think they're sure.
I don't think they know. I think it's just some knee-jerk reaction with all the drama. And so they just jumped the gun to mix my metaphors.
Yeah. I do think that they had to cut a lot of people free. I think in order to stay afloat, they had to, jettison some weight. And I understand that. But as far as what they're going to do within the next 2 years, I think they have some ideas, but they don't necessarily have it all fleshed out yet, which is probably why they're being vague. Right. You don't want to commit to something when you do have a recognizable name if you're not going to go through with it. Mm. So I think the only thing that they're mentioning are the things that they have a firm decision on. You know, yes, this is our new contract. Yes, these are our new terms. No, we're not inviting anyone else. The things that they're very firm on, that's what they've released. But everything else might be in sort of a jelly stage right now. Right. And so we'll hear eventually. By the time we hear, I don't think it will matter to anyone anymore because I think that the community will be fairly decimated.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I say start your own collective. I mean, that was my argument.
I think there's too many collectives.
Well, I mean, if people really feel the need, right?
Right.
If they feel the need to have something like a keen spot in their lives, their comic. Look, get together, make your own damn one, you know? And the hell with the Crosbys.
I mean, the Comic Genesis is still a strong community. Drunk Duck is still a very strong community.
Yeah, good, sure.
I wanted to ask, though, what is it doing for you? I mean, in the beginning, you know, the whole point of Keenspot is that you couldn't really get your name out there. There were still a lot of people who didn't know what webcomics were.
Right.
There was a good reason to be part of a community, part of a collective. I don't know that that's necessarily true anymore with Project Wonderful and the different blog roles and the community sites that are coming together, like Webcomic Builder. Those type of things. Do you really need to host your site on a community site? Is that necessary?
Well, it's not necessarily, you know, common hosting. A lot of times it's members being together, like Webcomic Planet or say the Rampage Network, which hosts the Webcomic Beacon. And it's all about camaraderie, really.
But there is, especially.
I mean, it may come to a point where, like, if you get really big, I think the less important a community becomes if you're really big, unless you yourself are really a big supporter for that. You know, there's a give and take in all communities. What can you do for them? What can the community do for you? Banner exchanges are great for increasing awareness of other comics. Usually communities have some sort of similarities or general idea or theme about them, or maybe they're hand picked, like invite only. I think Girl-O-Matic, I think, is.
Lunchbox Funnies is, I think.
Yeah, Lunchbox Funnies is.
Somebody mentioned Blank Label, and there's also Graphic Smash.
I think the trend that I've noticed is that when a new webcomicer comes on the scene, they tend to be very involved in a community. You're feeling your way around. You're trying to figure out what's going on. If the project you have is something that gains an audience, once you get to a point where you're too busy to deal with both the community aspect, like you're taken off enough to where you're not constantly looking for guidance and you no longer really have time to give it, they sort of drift away from the communities. Mm-hmm. Then they come to a point where, if that was their goal, they become professionals that are doing art for a living. You tend to see them kind of either drift back into a community scene where they're sort of giving back to a community that gave them the start, or you see them sometimes unwittingly spawning a community of their own. You know, where what started out as just a little forum to talk about their comic winds up being a juggernaut. Like, you know, Questionable Content Forum is possibly busier than a lot of the comic sites, you know, with people giving advice back and forth and things like that. So, you know, they wind up either spawning their own community or you know, are coming back into the ones that helped them, but
right.
I don't, but you don't need, you certainly don't need a community hosting. There's, I mean, there's so many advertising options now that didn't exist then, and webcomics are, you know, grade schoolers are reading webcomics, so it's not like people, webcomics, what's that?
Well, there are, you know? There are free hosting places, but yeah. They tend to be communities, like Drunk Duck, Comic Genesis, as far as just like, well, Drunk Duck is, Drunk Duck is by far the easiest for anybody to start their webcomic with. I mean, especially with their built-in comment system and updating system. I mean, maybe it's a little dated, but I mean, if you don't design anything, it is the easiest, quickest thing you can do. And they have a great community over there. A lot of, because it's like one login is comment system for like everybody and links back to their own stuff, da-da-da-da-da. You got that. It's a great start. I mean, unless you know you can buy your own space, which is, you know, you go to GoDaddy.com for like $5-$6 a month.
$4 a month.
Something, well, it all depends on
the
deals.
The basic package is $4 a month. That's all I pay.
Yeah.
Every $4
but
a month.
But that's all at once, too. But, you know, otherwise a built-in hosting site, like the Rampage Network, I know Horatio will, because you can apply, but I think he also tries to invite people as well if you get hosted. Or even if you're not hosted, I guess he'll also try to, because he works on, like, the old iStrip. He's worked on that a lot, and it hasn't been officially supported for a long time, but he keeps updating it, whatever, and he'll help you design your site if you get on the Rampage Network. So there is a lot of help and assistance going on with a lot of different communities as well. If you have a community where basically it's essentially just a banner exchange, and there's really no community Ness forum or anything or whatever, you know, maybe that's not the right community for you.
You can start a blog for free and put your comic on that.
No, you know? No, do not put your comic on a blog.
Oh, okay, and you don't use WordPress?
No. I would use WordPress with webcomic and Inkblot. It becomes
okay,
it's
well,
like
it's
no,
a
if
blog.
You just have a blog spot and you're just posting a comic every once in a while in between, it's unless you know what you're doing to actually create a real site.
If you know what you're doing,
site,
you can do it for free.
But don't just...
And you don't have... All
is,
I'm
there,
saying,
is there a post what? About that on a webcomic book?
No, I'm saying where you have like...
Go ahead, Zoe.
There's no Let's real... Ah.
Isn't
at the moment, but perhaps there should be.
A what?
I want on whether... How to set up a website so that people don't have to make a choice of, well, I don't know how to do this, so I'll have to go with a community that will tell me. Perhaps we should just say, this is how you do it. It takes like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the free community sites I kind of hate, you know, let's be honest. I don't like the way they look. I don't necessarily like the way they work. They come across as amateurish where, yeah. And, you know, I don't necessarily, it's not that I think so highly of my completely non-updating comic that I don't want it, you know, the riffraff. That isn't it. It's just that when I envisioned what I wanted, it never included anything that I find on any of the comic community sites, except for the ones that are exclusive. You know, Girl-O-Matic and those kind of things where they are very picky and it isn't very busy and it isn't very junior high-ish. A lot of the sites, their free communities,
so I guess
come
you don't
across
like
something
Genesis
that middle
or
schoolers
Duck.
Put together.
It's varsity.
To an extent, I suppose if it says something where it's invite only, the people that are in that have already vouched for you. But if it's somewhere where it's a case of, yeah, I'd like to join, come on in. Their biggest problem is they've never gone to cater for all comers.
Yeah.
Well, there's usually like an application.
Can't deal it to the same extent.
Exactly. And I don't think that you're necessarily, you know, I'm not going to get a huge boost in my hit count if I went to one of those free community sites, because a lot of the comics there are of, you know, they're so radically different in concept or in, you know, even age category of who they cater to. It's not going to help me. I could be on the front page and it's not going to matter, because the kind of people who read my comic aren't the kind of people who just troll those free comic sites.
But then again, you might find some. See, here, maybe we should.
I might find a few people, but is it really worth it?
Well, here, look at it this way. My first comic, I applied to Zephyr.net for space. Originally, he didn't really want to, but I stuck with it. I stuck with it, and I kept updating, posting my new images and such in the application. You know, I was just keeping it going. And he reluctantly approved me, and then I was hosted on Zephyr.net. And now look at me. I got all this stuff, and I was like basically a good decision. It's one of these things I always remember, because he told me like a year or so later that, you know, I actually was thinking of not approving you. So
okay,
it's really
right there,
no.
Hold on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking a free site.
Hold on.
Just go in and
hold
you put
on
in your login information.
Hello, Tanya. Tanya.
What? Blah, blah, blah.
I was trying. Stop. I was not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One of the things that they have, that he has on Zephyr, is there is a banner exchange thing. Mm-hmm. And there's like a couple of different kinds. And so that's part of it. Because, you know, that's, you know, part of being a community is, you know, that's almost expected. And so I have that on my site, and I have it on more places than I'm actually required to, because I personally have a good devotion to Zephyr for giving me the opportunity for that, because, you know, I couldn't afford any sort of pay site at the time. And even now it's kind of iffy if I can or not. But, you know, so I have a great sense of loyalty, me personally.
Yes.
But I also... I mirrored the comic on Comic Genesis, and that was a pain in the ass. And Ben Carver of Point Guardian has texted me and said that, well, to be fair, that Comic Genesis can be customizable, but if you use their auto update system, But I also mirrored it on Drunk Duck. Mm-hmm. I get like 30% of my viewers from Drunk Duck as a mirror.
Here's my question.
That's a
Do
mirror
you know
site
what
going.
Your demographics are?
Fuck no! I have no idea what my audience is!
No. Now just listen, because that has a lot to do with what I'm saying, okay? My demographics, I happen to have it actually pretty well fleshed out. I know that they're in between the ages of 18 and 34. I know that they're college educated. I know they're mostly male. That set of demographics are not hanging out at Drunk Duck. That's not the way that works.
Like, there are comics on Drunk Duck.
No, of course there are. But I'm not going to get new readers from Drunk Duck in the same way I would through a targeted campaign on, like, Project Wonderful.
I suppose.
And that's what I'm saying.
But how much extra work is it just to throw up a mirror? But we can talk about mirrors.
Like 5 new viewers.
I did
all these 30% new topics for the web comic builder website.
Yeah, we can talk about this another time.
Poor Zoe.
This has been the longest episode in a long time.
I pity you, Zoe. Every time you come on, we trample you like crazed horses.
Not me.
Well, okay.
Nice.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm sat here with a notepad and pen.
I actually have a great question, Zoe. Do you have any topics in particular you would like to see people submit on? Is there anything that, you know, you're kind of dying for somebody to write an article on?
I'd love anything on inking by hand or hand lettering, because it... Hand lettering especially is something that I just don't do, so I couldn't tell anyone about it. But if anyone has expertise in that kind of area, then that would be fantastic, because I'm sure I'm not the only person who thinks, you know, that might be a good thing to try, but I wouldn't know where to start.
Right. Excellent.
Gypsy Girl in the TalkShoe chat room is asking, is there value to spreading out multiple titles to different webcomic communities?
I think it's possible.
What does that mean? Is that like mirroring, or if you have like different projects?
No, if you have, you know, let's say you have, you know, a child's comic, and then you have a comic that's about, you know, slice of life, and you have another comic that's science fiction, would it make sense to take each of those titles and put it on a different community? And I think it would. I think that if you know the demographics of those communities, targeting it to a specific community is going to make a lot more sense than just dumping them all on one community and kind of hoping for the best. It's the same thing as like if you do a widespread campaign on Project Wonderful, you're not going to get the same return as if you do a targeted campaign. So I think it would make a lot of sense. Obviously, I don't have any data to back that up, but it seems logical.
It's also a good idea if you've got wildly different comics, such as like a child-friendly one, and then a horrible comic about clowns murdering children.
Oh, God!
In different places, so that a person who's reading one comic and enjoys it doesn't then have a look for what else you've done and go, oh, good grief, this is horrible, and then not go back to your original comic.
It's true.
A horrible comic about clowns murdering children. I'm never going to sleep again.
If you do something like that, where you have a children's comic, and then you have a very not children's comic, I might even suggest having different pen names. Depending on what your end goal strategy is. If your end goal strategy is to really fuck some people up, well, maybe keep the same name. If you're looking to maybe hopefully get picked up by somebody, and you really don't want them to find the other one. Change your pen name. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But we really got to stop. This has been a great long going topic. Zoe, I'm sorry. We've talked over you or didn't let you talk, but you weren't very forceful either.
Don't worry about it. That's fine.
Sure. Blame the guest.
Well, see, it's like if you have someone like Ben who never shuts up. No, I'm kidding, Ben. I love giving you shit, Ben, because you take it so well.
Just very quickly, if anyone's looking for specific demographics on a community that they're looking at joining, if you go to quantcast.com, put in the community site, hit your find, you can then click demographics and it will tell you. Like I just put in Drunk Duck and it's mostly male, mostly young adults, mostly African American, mostly has kids. It'll tell you all of those type of things. So if you know your demographics and the community demographics, you'll be able to get a good match.
Unless it's like mine and there are no demographics.
Ben's telling me I'm not even on the show.
You're still getting.
I'm still getting stuff from them. Also, Google Analytics is also another thing to look at as far as seeing your own demographics. And I just added to the Webcomic Beacon Google Analytics. So I'll be checking.
I should add that to my site. I don't use
just
it.
One thing with Google, it can be addictive. Don't look at it all the time.
I check my Quantcast way too much.
All right,
I don't have to check it off.
We gotta go.
We're leaving right now.
We so gotta go.
Say it, go.
This has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesandShit.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Zoe, you can go.
Sorry?
You say who you are in your website.
Oh, sorry. This is Zoe of webcomicbuilder.com.
That is all for this week. Be sure to come back next week for more Webcomic Beacon.
For more bitching.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Well, yeah.
Joe didn't email me back. His comic sucks, man. Yeah, Scott Kearns won't come on the show. I don't know why. He's a jerk.
God.
Oh, man.
Funny thing is that from now on, at least if I meet Scott Kearns again, I won't have to wonder why he won't talk to me.